Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Perhaps we can have a word of prayer as we open. Our God and Father, we look to you. It's your day, your time, your hour, your word, your work, your grace. So deal with us that we might have a heart to understand. God, that we would have a heart to understand and be exercised in the light of your wonderful person, in the light of your wonderful presence. God, thank you. So deal with us, help the little ones, the children, the nursery, God. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we have been looking at the Gospel of John, we have come to and we're at verse 14, which is the centerpiece for the Gospel of John. And remember, the Gospel of John is written in the end, back with 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, back in that era. And in the process, you have already the Old Testament. The Apostle John would have all of the New Testament except his own writing. So he has everything. He has the book of Colossians. He has Romans. He has all of these things. So he has all of that. And he's writing to help us, we who are looking back into history and then coming forward, going to have no more Revelation 22. Don't add or don't subtract any. Don't add or subtract anything from what God has said, and that's all God is going to say till He comes. So, John is going to help us understand, and the great need in the light of Israel, in light of Gentiles and Jews, is to understand the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, what has taken place. What has God done so awesomely wonderful? And thus we found in verse 14, chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh. Now the Word, remember over in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So here is God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're all wonderfully God in His wonderful person. Now, in the light of that, the Word becomes flesh, and the Word, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son becomes flesh, was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, And so here John, the apostle, is looking and said, listen, we had the wonderful exposure to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, and we beheld His glory. So we're looking at a literal person, our Lord Jesus Christ, and John isn't looking at a baby, he's looking at the full person of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his wonderful 3+ years of public ministry. And he's looking at him in 1 John 1, you have to turn there, 1 John 1:1. And we beheld his glory. We handled him. We touched him. We ate with him. We were with him. For real. So now, and as you're looking at verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt was tabernacled among us, like the tabernacle, tent, to be tented among us. He put on a tent, and remember we shared together last time that the tabernacle was a tent of meeting, and it's where God put himself, and wherever the tent was, God was. And God gave himself a house, a tent to work from, and that was the tabernacle, later the temple. And now, finally, in his most magnificent way, he is tabernacled among us in his flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory, the wealth, the worth, the weight, the magnificence of that person, power, presence, that gets your attention, that demands your attention, that says, wow, wow, God, you are a great God. You are something else. God, for you, you are a merciful God, a gracious God. And thus he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the magnificence of God, the glory of God, the wonderment of God. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father, the only one, the one of a kind. And we shared together, the word has to do with only, little word only, or only, unique, single is the word. And then you put another word next to it, to be born, to begin something, a member of a kind, to first, the first starting of something, the member of a kind, a member of a family, kind, the kind, a human, the humankind, the only kind. He is an only, unique, one-of-a-kind person, one-of-a-kind being. His only, no one's like him. Of all humans, no one is like him. He was born in Luke 1:35 by the Spirit of God, conceived by the Spirit of God. Remember Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Spirit of God brought him into being. He's unique, one-of-a-kind and only, very, very special. Special, that's right. And he is the only begotten out of the Father, belonging from the Father. The Father. The Father sent the Son in a very wonderful way. The Son is going to show the Father in flesh, unique, one of a kind, very, very special, special. And thus, this one of a kind, he's going to show the Father. No one can do that, but God the Son can. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and you will see him now. And remember now, the God took on a human nature in the person of his Son. He never lost his. Always God, always human. And the statement you know on the incarnation that has been written, quoting, he who never began to be, but eternally existed, and who continued to be what he eternally was, began to be what he eternally was not, human. He always was God. But then he began to be eternally what he was not, human, flesh. Now, in the light of that, flesh, and it doesn't say in verse 14, it doesn't say the word became man. The word became man. It doesn't use that. Why not? And it doesn't say the word became a body. It doesn't say that either. God, why did you say what you say? Because it needs to be understood, I didn't become a man, as you think it. I didn't put on a body, a shell. I didn't do that either. What did you do? The word became flesh. Now hang on. Over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And picking up, please, in thought. Remember, the Word became flesh. That means bodily, physical existence. Real, true humanity. Flesh and blood. Blood, brains, brawn. Beauty. Hebrews 2, verse 14, if I may go directly. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh, there's your word, and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, by way of death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He condemned the devil and was able to save whosoever, verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He took part, verse 14, of flesh and blood, just like you have. Only perfect. Hang on, it's important. He didn't become a body, he put on flesh, real flesh, that could be crucified. Now, go with me please over to 1 John. 1 John. And in chapter 1 John and chapter 4. And you'll see it, just let it sink in. The Word became flesh, not a man, not a body, flesh, flesh and blood. 1 John 4, going, if I may, I'll read verse 1 for a little context. Behold, believe not every spirit, but try, put to the proof the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's your word. You must understand he came in the flesh. In the flesh. Now, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world this spirit of Antichrist. Thus, you must understand flesh and blood. The whole issue is Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the whole ball game is about that. Because the spirit of Antichrist says he didn't. The devil said he didn't. Religion said he didn't. And religion has all the different ways, as you'll see in a minute, of way of rationalizing around it. No, the Word became flesh. Now, over, if you would, to 2 John. 2 John, 1 John, 2 John. And going directly, if I may, to verse 7. And you'll notice, again, John is going to help us. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The issue is, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Real flesh and blood. Hang on. Now, over if you would to John, the Gospel of John, back over there. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Remember, flesh and blood. Body, real human, flesh, blood, body, real, just like you got, most of you. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. I'm making sure I understand God. Why did you say, it's critical. That's the whole gospel. This is the centerpiece, verse 14, about all of the gospel of John and the whole business of the gospel. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 and 51. 1:51. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, most assuredly, Amen, amen, some translation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Man, human, the Son of Man, humans. Mankind, the word is for male or female, the son of a human, son of man, belonging to humans, flesh and blood, Now, over to John chapter 8, John will help us again. John chapter 8, and picking up, if I may, in verse 40. 8 and 40. But now you seek to kill me, said the Lord Jesus. A man, there's your word, man, a human, flesh and blood. You seek to kill me, a human, flesh and blood. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't try to kill me, among other things. Abraham didn't do that. You're trying to kill me, because I tell you the truth. Because I'm a man, human, flesh and blood. Ah. Over to John. John and chapter 6. John chapter 6. And picking up again, verse 42. And they said, the Jews murmuring at him, verse 41, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? How could he say he came down from heaven? We know his father and mother. We know his stepfather. And we didn't know that, but actually stepfather and his actual mother. We know them. We know his brothers and stepbrothers and sisters. We know them. Chapter 7. And if I may go to verse 25. John again. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Do the Jewish leaders know this is Christ the Messiah? Do they know this? Verse 27. Howbeit, we know this man, this human, flesh and blood, we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. We know this man, flesh and blood. We know his father and step. We know his mother and stepfather. We know his stepbrothers and sisters. We know them. But this man, cannot be Christ the Messiah. This human cannot be Christ the Messiah in flesh. We know the man in flesh, the Lord Jesus, but we don't recognize him. We recognize him as a man, not God. Verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know where I am, whence I came. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know. You know him. Verse 29. But I know you, and you know him not, I should say. Verse 28. You don't know him, but I know him, for I am from him, he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come, and you couldn't go and put him and hang him or kill him or crucify him. You couldn't do anything, because it wasn't God's time. And the crowd would be immense around him, no way out. And he always walked through them. Their intent was to grab him, kill him, but they couldn't do it. Could not do it. And that's a miracle from our point of view in itself. That they wanted to grab him everywhere. They couldn't touch him. Wow. Now, having said that, they sought to do that. Now, over to, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. If I may, verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy." What is that? What did you do that was so terrible? And blasphemy. "And because that thou, being a man," flesh and blood, "thou being a man, maketh thyself," what? "God." God cannot be flesh and blood. God cannot be that. No, it cannot be. God cannot be like us, flesh and blood. But he became partakers, just like we are, of flesh and blood. But, you couldn't handle that. Oh, no, they couldn't. Well, one other place, if I may, over in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And you'll notice in John chapter 19, Pontius Pilate is going to say it for us. Then, verse 5. "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them," the Jews, "Behold the man." Behold the man, flesh and blood. That's what they can't handle. He says he's God. Flesh and blood can't be God. Therefore, back over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own would not, did not receive him." They would not receive the word become flesh, flesh and blood. Blasphemy. And they rejected him. They rejected him. He didn't come in a body. He didn't come in a ghost, as a ghost. He came in flesh and blood. The word became, was manifested, brought forth in flesh and blood, just like they had, only in perfect humanity. And they couldn't handle that. And the Jews rejected him. That's why. Didn't say he came as a man. They could have handled that. Or something else. But they couldn't handle the word become flesh. That was too much for them. And thus, in chapter 1 and verse 14, "The word become flesh, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The glory, the wonderful glory of God. God in the flesh. The word in the flesh. Deity and humanity marvelously meshed in a wonderful person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God always being who he is, can be no other than who he is, caused it to come into being, caused it to happen by way of the Virgin Mary, by way of the Spirit of God, a unique, one-of-a-kind human of flesh and blood. God became flesh. Over in John 8 for a minute, right, not too far away, John 8 and verse 58. John 8 and 58, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham ever was, I am. The Word, God, became flesh. Here I am standing in front of you. I am. I am the eternal God, the Word become flesh. I am forever, always God, and I have chosen to eternally become what I have never been, flesh and blood. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember, they said that of all the different things that were historically about, because they don't want to accept he became flesh and blood. Therefore, he became as it was a place of a spirit was replaced, human spirit was replaced with another spirit. No, that wasn't true. He had a human spirit. He had that. And to keep in mind that he didn't have a third nature, a human, deity, and then another nature. He didn't have that. He had two natures, God and human, in one person. And he didn't go and have, you know, he wasn't two persons. No, he's one person, God the God-man. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God is going to, verse 14, God is going to manifest, going to glorify himself as flesh. He's going to do it. The source of that glory is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, without taking time to turn there. Well, you can, you aren't far away. Hold your finger in chapter 1 and over in verse 14. The purpose of the Word becoming flesh and blood is to help us understand God, the person of God, to appreciate God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We need to appreciate and appropriate and assimilate God. John chapter 14, and picking up in verse 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we, verse 5, knoweth not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. I and my Father are one. The Word became flesh. The glory, the only begotten of the Father. The Father expresses himself in the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh. God did. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, John 1, if I may, and in verse 16. John chapter, well, let me finish verse 14. And the verse 14, 1 and 14, the end of the statement, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, all right? He's full of grace and truth. Now, hang on to that. Now, I'm going to skip down, because we're going to pick up verse 15 next as we get into the next part. But verse 16, tying it together with the end of verse 14, full of grace and truth, and verse 16, of his fullness, he's full of grace and truth. The glass is full of water. The room is full of air, etc. Full, overflowing, full. Verse 16, and of his fullness have in this fullness, have all we received. Remember in verse 12, as many as received him. When I received the Lord Jesus in point of time, something wonderful happened. I was able to become, I chose to allow God to make me his child, belonging, having a unique personal relationship to him by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, the end of verse 14, he is full of grace and truth. So when I received him as my Savior, God brought to my heart grace and truth. How much? All of God's grace and all of God's truth, reality, wonderment, real wonderment of real things that are really right. And God brought them all into my heart in the person of Jesus Christ. And thus when we read verse 16, we have all received. When I received the Lord Jesus, who was full of grace and truth, what did we receive? We received something in a moment of time, and that fullness stays. The Jesus Christ doesn't get half empty. He doesn't lose any. God is always full of himself, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, and we're in the presence of God. He's always God, never diminishes, never less. Nevermore, always just God in complete perfection. And God, when I receive you as my Savior, I receive you, your complete, perfect person, and you never seek to be anything other than who you are in the heart of the believing believer. And you never seek to be otherwise. Thus, the grace and truth remain consistent. That's right. We receive that in all my life and forever. ever. My relationship to him which lasts forever, called eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. And that relationship lasts forever. When am I going to be less of grace and truth? Never. Never. Because of his fullness of grace, and he's full of grace and truth, have we received. And thus you know the end of verse 16. And grace for grace. Of his fullness have we received, and grace, up like in verse 14, grace. Grace has to do with the inclination, the bowing down, the gracious bending, leaning, the mental disposition, the part of God, the part of God coming in our direction, his kindness, his favor, and bringing us grace, grace, grace. And remember, the word grace comes from the word joy. The root of grace is joy, joy. God gives. All that comes, grace, forgiveness, giving, gifts, one, joy. Joy produces all of that. Joy does. And thus, grace upon grace. Out of joy, God, you give us this leaning, your disposition to come in our direction, to come in your gladness, in your delight, in your person, to be God on our behalf, to bring to us grace. What do you mean, grace? To bring to you myself. I am grace. I bring to you myself in my Son, flesh and blood. I make it possible that he's flesh and blood. I need to know that God, you sent your Son, you had born in Bethlehem of Judea, in a special, unique, one-of-a-kind way to be a very, very special human, so that you could pay the price for my sin, the sin of all the world, so that I could know you. Wow. Now, full of grace and truth, verse 16, and grace for grace. Remember the little preposition you have in verse 16, F-O-R, for. It means over against. Instead of, exchange, replacement, to replace something, in place of something. It does not mean substitution. It means succession, not substitution. Grace, not substituted for more grace. Grace, in place of grace, in place of grace. Grace, just think of the ocean, and we do it how many times? And wave, in place of wave. In place of wave, in place of wave, forever. One wave after another. Grace, and then more grace, and more grace, and more grace. He's full of grace and truth. And we have received from God grace and truth, the endless, endless supply, the endless, endless ocean of God's grace. God's grace. It'd be like going down, it isn't a good illustration for you, but I could probably say freshwater Lake Michigan or something, and go up to Lake Michigan or someplace like that, and take your little cup, and go up and take your cup up there, and sit by the water, and I want you to start drinking. I want you to start drinking. And you drink. And you drink. And you drink. You won't get drunk. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, and the lake is still what? Still there. And next year you're still drinking and still drinking, and the lake is still there. You got it? Grace upon grace upon grace coming to you. God has given you that wonderment, God's wonderful delight in being who he is, to bend down in favor and towards us and lean towards us and give towards us his wonderful presence in a most wonderful way. God gives us grace upon grace upon grace. And you will notice, please, in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. Moses was the instrument to give the law. It came by agent. Moses is the agent. Moses, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, etc., judgments and all of it. God used Moses as his instrument for law. The source is God. The instrument is Moses. And thus, verse 17, as for the law was given by Moses, but in contrast to the law, grace and truth came by the instrument of our Lord Jesus Christ, the man become flesh, God the source, as he is for the law, Moses, as he is for grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source. God, he's the source. How are we going to get grace and truth from you, God? By my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, and that grace is endless, 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 endless. Never ends, never ends, never ends. Wow. Thus, to be able to have this grace, this matchless grace. Wow. Now, having said that, to receive, we are to be receivers and believers and receivers. So God had, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:12, as our Savior. And if I do open the door of my heart and allow God to come in, I have to give, it's my choice, as we shared in Sunday school. I have the right to choose, and I'm responsible, and God holds everyone accountable for choosing or not choosing. And that's where the ball game is, to believe or not to believe. And so here, I chose to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received Him. And Him, in Him, He is full of grace and truth. And in Him, He brings to me all of the grace and all of the truth and all of the reality and all of the wonderment of God. You bring that to me, wave upon wave upon wave. Ocean, endless lake, endless, 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 one after another, grace upon grace upon grace. That's right. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, and over to Ephesians. Ephesians, if I may, in chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Now, what is the believer's assignment? More than that, what is the assembly's assignment? The church, the local body of believers that represent him. What on earth is their assignment? Verse, dispensationally, assignment, stewardship. Chapter 3, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would God, you have given us the stewardship, not of the law, but of grace and truth. Moses and Israel represented the law. The church, the body of Christ, represents grace and truth. Or to say it simply, we are to represent the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom Paul would say, I determine not to know anything among you in that great cosmopolitan city, Corinth. I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, so, grace, 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 grace. And in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, a servant, according to the gift, the present. God gave me a gift, a present. What was it? The grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God gave me his grace. How so? When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 1, as my Savior, what happened? I received the grace of God. In him is all the fullness of God's grace and truth, and I received that. And what did it do? Well, God, in his grace, made me, I was a hunter of Christians, a killer of Christians, I imprisoned Christians, I persecuted them, I did all of it. And God took me in his grace and did this for me. He made me his apostle to the Gentiles, to the church. Chapter 4, verse 7 of Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verse 7. And what do we know? What do we know as believers then? We represent the grace of God. How much of the grace of God? The grace of God is found in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's our business. Our business is the grace of God. That's why we sit here. That's why we pray. That's why we come. That's why we're working, because God is putting together, unknowns to most of us probably, God is putting together the wonderful testimony of his grace. And if say, well, no one's sitting in here watching. Angels are in here, good and bad. God is here. God's watching. You remember in Revelation 2, he walks up and down the aisle of each assembly. He walks up and down. Wow. Well, that's different than being just religious. Uh-huh. Getting God conscious in a good way. Now, thus, 4 and chapter 4 and verse 7, Ephesians. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, how much, of the gift of Christ. God has given how much grace? The fullness of grace. One endless, endless, endless ocean, endless, endless, endless lake, on and on, wave after wave after wave. God has given us grace, and then in his wonderful grace, he does all kinds of things with us. Wow. All kinds of things. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember, the flesh wants to go. Why won't we receive the grace of God? Because the flesh refuses to yield to God, to yield to God by the cross. Why? Because God demands that your flesh, in his flesh, be crucified. Your flesh, in his flesh, be crucified. Oh, no. Yes. God, if we can just be a nice God, and we'll love you, and you can be a great force, the force, isn't that the force? The force, the power, the deity, God, wonderful. We don't mind that. But flesh and blood, God became like you and me so that we could become like him as sons. Do you understand? For real. And when the Lord Jesus comes and gives us ultimately a resurrection body, it's going to be like whose? His flesh and blood resurrected. And the world hates flesh and blood. The Jews crucified. We will not have this man to rule over us. We will receive him not as a man. How can God be flesh and blood? Because he's God. And he made us flesh and blood. And because he made us flesh and blood, he certainly must understand us. Don't you think? Don't you think God understands that you're human? He became one. God cares. God wouldn't have bothered. God could have just had a magic wand and touch certain people and they'd feel good and look good and not get sick and live in the beautiful island of somewhere. But God did not do that. That is not what God does. God created us in his image and likeness to know him and to know him in a wonderful way. And God became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. God, it's a wonderful thing. So I want to go, God, I want to go and understand that you took my flesh in your flesh to Calvary's cross. You did that for me so that it would not be works by works which I have done, because all my works are as filthy rags. And if I'm going to say I'm going to merit, earn, be good enough for you to treat me good enough to end up in having a good eternal life, if I'm waiting for that, I'm waiting for nothing, because it can never happen. By works of the flesh can no man be justified. No. But in your flesh, you took my flesh to the cross so that in your flesh, You paid the price and pardoned my sin. We sang it. A pardoning God. You pardoned my sin. You put my sin down and buried it. And you rose again in newness of life, so that in your newness of flesh is my newness of flesh in your Son. Grace upon grace upon grace. God, you've given yourself in grace and truth. And I'm able to walk down the corridor of time. I'm able to go to work, home, school, bed, and everything else in this body of flesh. If anyone understands flesh and blood, you do, God. And the Word became flesh. God in the flesh. God in you. The body belongs to whom? The believer's body belongs to whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You're bought with a what? A price. Flesh. Yield your members, flesh and blood, to God in the flesh. You understand? Not magic. Real. Real blood. Real everything. And a real God to take this mortal, corruptible body and do wonderful things with it. To be able to speak words of thanksgiving to God. To be able to look to God. To be able to talk to God. To be able to talk to each other. To be able to have a helping hand. A helping way. To be able to be functional in society. So in whatever I do, in word or deed, I do it what? To the glory of God. Flesh. Flesh and blood. Huh? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Help the dear people, dear God, each one young and old alike, God, deal with us and all the people across the world, but God, start with us. Start with us that we would have some real and true and right appreciation of our humanity, which you took part of, and brought it, made it possible in your deity to bring your humanity and all of its benefits to us in this body of flesh, that we could enjoy the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. God, make it all real, right, honor yourself, and make it joyous, God. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. I trust it helped a little bit. And you may want to turn in your Bible, we're going to sing 4,000, page 4,010 in your Bible. If you would, over to 187, Amazing Grace That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Let's stand together. 187.